Kickstarter workers join a union. This is big. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier this week, there was a very surprising development in the tech industry. Employees of a tech company formed a union. Kickstarter is the company, and this, of course, is happening as lots of tech employees are agitating at work. Some Google contract workers in Pittsburgh voted to form a union. Amazon warehouse workers have organized to protect their coworkers. Gig workers have gone on strike. But tech workers want more from their employers than the typical things that unions provide around hours or wages or overtime. They might want to form or join unions, but they also want to disrupt them. Let's dig into this in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Megan McCarty-Carino covers workplace issues at Marketplace. I asked her my favorite question, which is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big a deal is this Kickstarter thing?
I would say it's maybe like an 8. It's really something very interesting to watch because unlike what we talked about with the Google contractors unionizing, I think that was much more about the types of issues that we're used to hearing unions deal with. So, you know, these were contractors. They wanted to have equal pay and equal benefits than they were getting compared to the full-time workers that they worked alongside at Google.
Right. And so you're saying some of those things, these sort of fuzzier, I guess, or culture issues, they are a part of this union, this contract?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of it's kind of a fuzzy notion of wanting to have a voice in business decisions. That's something that's a little bit difficult to put into a union contract. So it could include things like, you know, having a say in climate change policies or in, you know, hiring decisions around diversity or doing studies on pay equity and these types of things. But they are only compelled to negotiate around kind of the traditional working conditions like wages and hours and benefits. So if Kickstarter or if, you know, one of these other tech companies doesn't want to negotiate on these issues, they are not legally compelled to do so unless, you know, they are taken to court and compelled to.
Huh. So what do you think this means for the rest of the tech industry? Like, how representative is Kickstarter when it comes to trying to replicate this success across the industry?
I think the representativeness of Kickstarter as a tech company is an interesting thing to look at. You know, of course, Kickstarter, it's in Brooklyn. It's not in Silicon Valley. A couple years ago, declared itself a public benefit corporation. However, I do think that the concerns that the union is going to be grappling with are pretty similar to some of the concerns that tech workers have voiced, you know, at other tech companies. So to see the degree to which collective bargaining is able to, you know, really bring these issues to the table and bring a successful outcome that the workers feel satisfied with, I think other workers will be watching that.
So it could go, so you're saying it could go either way. Like they might look at it and go, this looks great, but they also, employees might look at it and go, that looks limiting.
Right. You know, I mean, it could be a case where it looks like having a formal union and having a formal process to bring issues to the table with the employer is really useful, especially as we're seeing, you know, cases at Google and cases at Amazon with employees being dismissed who have been linked to worker activism. You know, having the heft of a union behind you can sometimes help to clarify those dismissal processes and do conflict resolution in a way that feels more satisfying to the workers. However, there's a lot of question marks still to be worked out about how a union is going to really deal with the issues that I think these specific workers want to deal with.
Megan McCarty-Carino covers the workplace at Marketplace. And now for some related links. The New York Times published a long piece earlier this week called The Great Google Revolt, about employees who organized dissent or literally tried to organize in the union way, and who have either left the company since or been fired. Google, and actually Kickstarter, have both hired outside consultants who appear to specialize in tamping down union activity. And The Hollywood Reporter had an interesting spin on the Kickstarter news. It points out that the kinds of things Kickstarter employees asked for from their union are actually similar to labor issues in Hollywood, which their unions have referred to as, quote, creative rights. We've got a link to that piece, which quotes the Directors Guild of America and the Writers Guild of America saying, hey, yeah, we have a lot in common here. We're all talking about trust, transparency, and a voice in decision making. And the Directors Guild says that's actually a fight that started in Hollywood in the 1930s. Super interesting story. And now for our new and still evolving segment, Also Watching. We are taking your suggestions for names for this segment, which is basically what else is on in tech news. And here goes. Apparently all that antitrust saber rattling is having an impact, and it might free you from the dreaded Apple Mail app. Bloomberg says Apple might just let people make third-party browsers and mail clients the default on their phones, thus making them work like they should have worked all along. Can't wait. File this under brutal irony. Tesla's attempt to build a giant factory to make batteries for non-polluting electric cars and green solar power storage is on hold in Germany because environmental activists say that building the factory involves cutting down too many trees. I'm only including this next story so that I can say that what happens in Vegas will almost certainly be stolen by Chinese hackers. Okay, we don't know for sure that this hack originated in China, but someone hacked MGM Resorts last summer, and this week they posted the personal details of 10 million guests online. The New York Times notes that hotel registration systems are a frequent target of state-sponsored hackers. The data dump included the phone number and address of a guy named Jack Dorsey, but again, unsure if it's the one we're all thinking of. And finally, some numbers from the world of venture capital. Although the stock market was bananas in 2019, the 159 companies that went public last year raised a kind of low $33 billion total, down nearly 30% from 2018. That's according to data from PitchBook. Obviously, those weren't all tech startups, but some of the worst performing IPOs were. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Jody Becker is our senior editor. Sarah Bruguer is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.